The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, on a hot Friday, I don't know where it is temperature-wise around the country. I haven't looked, but it's supposed to be awfully warm and awfully hot through the summer here in the entire West Coast, Northwest area of the country. The weather map is a bright red. It's already drought time here, so not going to be a good fire season, it doesn't appear. Lots of news, of course, as we wrap up the week. Just a couple of quickies. The Oklahoma Supreme Court has ruled that Trump's rally tomorrow night will proceed, and the Tulsa City curfew at 10 p.m. has now been lifted. So it's green lights and blue skies. Actually, it'll be dark skies tomorrow night for Trump's rally. Story out of the New York Times. Trump advisors assume he could be unwilling to run for re-election. That's not a surprise. I have suggested that several times here. The polls are so bad, he might say in the next month, I'm out of here. I don't need this. He won't say it that way. He'll give some other excuse. But it'll be Pence and Nikki Haley against Hillary and Pete Buttigieg. Now, why do I keep saying Hillary? A lot of leading Democrats this week, just the other day, said that Biden is mentally unfit. I mean, it's one of the worst secrets on the planet. The guy should be in Shady Acres. It's a joke. Dr. Faustus, otherwise known as Tony Fauci, doubts the NFL football season will happen this year. But Trump right away said that Fauci has nothing to do with the NFL season. Yeah, it doesn't, but we'll see. What else did Fauci say? He said, oh, Nyman's going to like this. He said, Americans don't believe in science, and they don't believe in authority. Well, the first part is certainly true. I would argue the second. They certainly believe in authority, whether they know it or not. Look at the mass mind control going on. That's authority dictating to the masses. Okay, now, when I get the news put up here, the stories are up now, but I'm going to keep running them, so I'd like you to share them. Last November, and I've said this so many times, the Department of Homeland Security warned all Americans. The story lasted one day. I watched it. It came up and went. The DHS warned all Americans to be prepared. That means with food, fuel, firearms, prepared to go without all electricity for up to 6 months. Now, just for fun, I'd like those of you who didn't know about this to go read the story again. This is from last November. And I can't remember who sent these stories to me. I think it was Rick, but thank you. You got to understand that if the electric grid goes down, and it could go down very easily, the Chinese could get even real fast. They could knock the whole grid down. They could fry it. And then we are back horse and buggy, right? Everything's gone. They don't even need to do an EMP. Just take out the electric grid under some plausibly deniable circumstance. And we're toast. Done. All right. Look at those stories. Pass them around. That's from last November. Very critical story. 6 days without electricity. Huh? Gone. It's over. This would be really bad. Okay. Prepare. You've still got a little time. Prepare. Happy Harry Cooper is standing by. The Admiral has made a special trip to his microphone in his command center, command and control center, command bunker, his Reichsbunker, and he's standing by to take us on a little tour of his upcoming Argentina trip, and that's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that. Look in guests and pull up Harry's name. Look underneath it, and you will find the photo section. All right, Admiral, how are you?
I'm falling asleep. As you know, my dog got me up at 3 o'clock this morning, and I haven't been to sleep yet.
And, well, just so it isn't me putting you to sleep.
No, 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 no. And she's laying here looking at me, and if you hear a loud gunshot, you'll know she's aggravating me. Either that or the tradesman that's repairing my roof is still working, one or the other. But
I warned you. I said, get a Sheltie.
Yeah, I know. I know, I know. Anyhow, what can I say? No, everything's going great here. It's hot here, too. It's 94 degrees here in Central Florida. And but you expect that in Florida. Florida's a hot temperature state.
104 degrees. What is it? 94 and
94,
yeah, 94 and 100% humidity, right? Or nearly? I can't stand
it. It's high humidity, but I don't know what the. I don't have one of them little things in my car, but in my truck on the rearview mirror, it tells me what the outside temperature is, and it also tells me what direction I'm going in, so I don't get lost here. Because I'm old
good.
And feeble, I need help getting around.
You're hardly that. That is a nice truck you have, though. If you ever sell that truck, let me know. I like that truck.
Okay. The thing is just fantastic. It's a 2001. I bought it about 8 months ago. It's the first time in my life I've ever owned a pickup truck. Never thought I would ever own a pickup truck. I just love the heck out of this thing. And it's a big mother. It's a 2500 HD with the tow package on it. Mm-hmm. And it rides like a truck, of course, but then it gets 9 miles to the gallon. Man,
that's going downhill too, right?
Yeah, right, with a tailwind. It's got 260,000 miles on it, and you'd never know it. The thing, everything works fine. So
it looked brand new to me. Is that a gas or a diesel?
Gas.
And it's never been rebuilt?
Not to my knowledge.
Wow. That's a good engine.
I had a diesel Suburban a while ago, and I think the diesel is great, and you get really great mileage. But here in Hillbilly Heaven, trying to find a diesel mechanic is not so easy. It's like trying to find an honest used car salesman.
Well, it's funny about used car salesmen. There aren't many left.
Used car market everything
is
online.
The used car market is dead. They don't even have wholesale auctions anymore. They're just all
really?
Piling up. Oh, no, it's over. New car dealerships, nothing going. They're offering, 0%, 83, 84 months or something? It's crazy.
Yeah.
And nobody will. One big dealership in Las Vegas, for example, has sold 3 cars in 3 months. That's
it. Oh, geez. And yet
so this is national.
the travel trailer business, though, the RV business, Tuesday morning, we bumped into the secretary at the RV place where we bought ours, and she said they can't keep them in stock. They're just selling at an incredible rate.
Well,
because
you know,
said,
why, don't you?
Yeah, people don't want to take public transportation and stay in hotels.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is people can't afford homes anymore. So they're getting homes on wheels, and they're looking for places to park them permanently. So trailer parks, RV parks are packed.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, I paid off my mortgage 2 years before Obama collapsed the economy. And so I don't have a mortgage, thank God. And we got this travel trailer with the insurance money we got. Four years ago, I think it was, when we had a strong wind and big oak tree in my yard came down on my 36-foot travel trailer and folded that sucker up like a pie tin.
Well, that's what they are. Or you had a metal one. Most of them are, a lot of them are fiberglass. But
oh, no, this was metal. It was heavy. It was 11 or 12,000 pounds.
Uh-huh. Next one you get. Well, you got a great one now. You're not going to get another one. You got one for life. That's a good one.
Yeah. My wife keeps saying, oh, we got to get a bigger one, because every time we travel, Shark Hunters comes with us. Two tower computers, a laptop, two monitors, two keyboards. So there goes her kitchen.
Yeah, right. Well, get a big Airstream. They're nice.
Airstreams are nice, but they don't have quite so much room because of that B-29 bomber shape, and are also doggone expensive because they're all stainless steel.
Right. And you know, each one of those rivets is the interesting thing about the rivets on those.
Yeah.
You look at them and you see the rivets on the outside. When they put those rivets in there, there's somebody on the inside working on the other end of that very same rivet when it's installed.
Yeah, they call it bucking up or something like that. They got a big, heavy steel whatever that they put against the rivet, and the guy outside has the rivet gun. It's the way they built airplanes back in the war years.
Right.
Ships,
there
too.
There used to be the guy that designed Airstream trailers was named Wally Byam. You remember Wally Byam? Wally Byam. Well, he used to have a television series where they would take Airstream tours. All the Airstream owners who wanted to go, like your tours, your trips, would get together, let's say in whatever city, Dallas, I don't know, and they'd go on an enormous trip all up and down
caravaning.
The Midwest. That's it. And they made television programs out of them. They'd film them.
I'll be darned. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And they all had their RVs and towing them along, and, you know, a couple hundred of them. Sometimes they'd take trips overseas, and they'd load them all on a big ship, and they'd go somewhere else and unload them, and they'd take off and do a big travel tour. It was really a neat program.
Yeah, there's one outfit now that does one from California down into Copper Canyon, which I guess is in Baja California. I'm not sure, but they go down there, and it's a big cruise, and it's about $6,000 or so bucks for 2 weeks, and that covers the rig, the tow rig, and two people. If you want more people, you pay extra for more people. Sounds like it'd be a lot of fun, but I haven't had a vacation. I don't remember last time I did have a vacation. 'Cause, like I say, when we go away in the travel trailer, my wife and son, they go shopping or they go to the pool, and I'm at the computer all the time. I'm finishing up Clark's book. That's incredible.
Well, I had a lot of it. I still have a lot of it posted on the site.
Mm-hmm.
I had almost all of his chapters, but there were some that I didn't get.
Yeah.
Anyhow, all right, now, go to guests and then look for Harry and photos under Harry and pull up that page. So this tour is coming up in November.
Okay. Let's see, from
I thought it was October. All right, November.
No, November 14th until the 29th.
This is going to be an unprecedented tour in its scope, and actually, That's 2 weeks.
Yep. Yep.
That's a long tour.
Right. It's going to be awesome. These are places I've been wanting to go, and we finally got the groundwork laid, and our mutual friend Martine, if you're listening, Martine, because I think you are, we're looking forward to a really, really super time.
Yeah,
all
he's
following the trail of the Third Reich down there.
Yeah, he's the best. You got one of the great people on the planet to work with you there. So,
yeah. He's put together our tours before, and he's done a hell of a job.
Very well informed about history and knows things that few people know. He's got to be the second or third most knowledgeable authority on the Third Reich down there after the war, huh? Something like that.
He's very knowledgeable, no two ways about that. And through him, we met the son and the grandson of Reimer Horton, and they're both members of Shark Hunters now. And
oh, good. You know, did you see the video? Did you get to look at the video I sent you the other day? It showed Horton in there, Kurt Tonk.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, that was
it's old news,
Mark,
but
you know, what the hell's the Mark Sumner and other productions?
Yeah, he does pretty good work.
Yeah.
He's put a lot of things out. Let's just put it that way. They've never been put out before.
Right. Mark Felton, that's what it was.
Felton,
yeah. I was talking to our mutual friend, the spy, who shall go nameless, and I said, what the hell? How come our YouTube channel got thrown off the air when it was only combat films and training films, travelogues, and Mark Felton is putting out the same thing, and he's being embraced by the powers that be, and he laughed. He says he's one of the guys that's authorized or accepted to post stuff that's only in the direction they like it to be, they being whoever is in charge.
Well, I don't know how he got so he was sanctioned for some reason.
Yep.
And he has, like, have so many liberally helped himself with your research. I'm not saying he's a plagiarist or a thief. I'm just saying that without you and your work, his job would have been, I think, a lot tougher.
Yeah, I think it would have been impossible. Some of the things he did, of course, he could do them, but a lot of the things could have only come through us because, and like this U-boat.not internet site, none of those guys have ever met a U-boat skipper. We had dozens of U-boat skippers in membership, and they contributed to the history. I had a sleeping room in the house of Otto Kretschmer, the top submarine commander. I've been over to visit him I don't know how many times, and Top and Hardegen, and my best friend over there, Hans-Georg Hess, Tater, the list goes on. And God bless them, they're all gone now, but they gave me all their memories, all their history. And the same on the American side. The four Medal of Honor winning American submarine commanders were all members. Gene Flucky, the most highly decorated American submariner ever in history, was on our board. He was a guest in my house. I went up to Annapolis to visit with him and Slade Cutter and Ned Beach. And Ned Beach was on one of our tours. These guys were all history people. These were pillars of history. These were guys that made the news. Günter Rall, the third most successful fighter pilot ever in history. I was a guest in his house for a day. He was a member.
Wow.
Hartmann, Erich Hartmann was a member. I never met him, but he was a member. But they gave us, Hans, no, not Hans, but Gallant, Adolf Gallant, he was a member. All these guys, they gave us their memories, and that's what we put in our magazine and in our books. So nobody else can get that history except if they lift it from us, because these guys never gave it to anybody else.
Fairly, honestly, correctly said, 100%.
I was going over some of our trip reports. You know, we've got the tours up on our website. And the first ever time, German U-boat veterans came to the United States to meet with American veterans. It was the tour we put together, 1987, in Key Largo. The first American group ever to visit the former Soviet Union was Shark Hunters in 1992. I was there in 1991. Mikhail Gorbachev ordered Vladimir Chernyev, the commander-in-chief of their Navy, to invite me over. I still to this day don't know why, but I was the first American so invited by the Russian, the Soviet Navy, and they put me up for 2 weeks. So we've done a lot of firsts, and I think a reason, one of the reasons that people like these Johnny-come-lately websites snipe at us, first off, because we're the only accepted and authorized and approved site by the German U-boaters, but also just plain raw jealousy.
Also, and the guy fairly that founded correctly that U-boat, said, it's true.
Yeah, the guy that founded that U-boat.net site was a guest in my home. I helped him get started, and he wanted to see American boomer boats. So we're only a few hours away from Kings Bay, where the Atlantic Fleet keeps all their missile submarines. I got him a tour there. I took him and his buddy there, and we toured the base, and we saw the submarines. He couldn't have ever got through the front gate because he's not an American citizen. But then all of a sudden, he was a good, strong member. He was recruiting members for us, and then all of a sudden, he got his nose out of joint and started bad-mouthing us. So I guess...
It's the same. I totally understand. I couldn't even tell you. It's not like dozens, but how many people I have brought onto the radio, introduced to the world, and exposed them and allowed them to present their material for, in some cases, years, and they end up stabbing, not me, it's not an issue about me, stabbing all of our listeners, the program, and everything that we have done for them in the back, and start whoring around on other low-life programs.
Not, right, and it's all your fault. They'll point the finger at you. It's your fault.
Exactly.
Jeez.
When I say other low-life programs, I didn't include this one, of course, but they do. They do. And the same with you. And what are you going to do? You just keep moving ahead? Forget it.
As long as I can look at the guy in the mirror without being ashamed, I'm doing okay.
That's right. All right, hold on a second. Pull up those pictures, and we'll come right back with Admiral Cooper, and we'll continue after this. Okay, now we're back. Jeff and Harry, once a month. All right, let's look at our photos for the evening. Let me get over here and get to my page so I can see them. There's a map at the top. Explain the map, Harry.
This is an outline. Now, if you click on the map, you know, Norberto has it where it blows up. This is a map of where we're going.
No, it enlarges. Don't say blow up in these times.
Okay, right. Like you're not supposed to say hi to your friend Jack at an airport. Hi, Jack.
Don't do that.
This is the first time we're ever going to do a tour like this in Argentina. We had before toured Buenos Aires, and we get on a plane and fly to either the Cordova province or Bariloche. Here we are driving. We're going probably by vans or mini bus from Buenos Aires through all these points that are so important to the Third Reich presence and also the U-boat presence in Argentina. The U-boats were coming and going in to Argentina all through the whole war. And as we found out later, quite some time after the war, too. But that's another whole story. But places along the coast were had big, huge estancias, with ranches, German-owned. And so they helped out the fatherland. They were very proud Germans, even living in Argentina. And so they were very sympathetic to the Third Reich. And after the end of the war, that's where a lot of thousands came to live. And the foundation was already laid. That's in my second book, Hitler and the Secret Alliance.
Right.
The first book proves how Hitler did indeed go to South America. The second book, Hitler and the Secret Alliance, shows how it was so easy because most of Argentina was owned by Germans and some Italians.
And they had a great friend in the palace.
Yeah, Juan Perón. He was your friend if you were crossing his palm with heavy bucks.
It's kind of the way it is now. Nothing's new.
Yeah, nothing new. But Perón was indeed very pro-German prior to the war. He was also heavily fascist-oriented because he did his ski training with the Italian mountain troops, and he was in Italy quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
Before he returned to Argentina. We ran a photo. I didn't think to put it up here, but we ran a photo in our magazine last month and asked, can anybody guess where and when this was? And we, in the new issue that's coming out, we reveal where it was. It's German troops marching down the main street of a small town, and it was not German troops. It was Argentine troops in mm-hmm. German uniforms in the 1950s in the town of Bariloche.
Wow. Interesting.
They had German equipment, German trucks, German APCs, all German. I don't know if it was made in Germany or made in Argentina under license, but it's all the same stuff.
Right. Wow. Neat. History.
So,
I like history.
So that's our line of march, if you want to call it that way, out of Buenos Aires down through all those places, and just incredible, including Caleta de los Loros, which very famous, but we'll get to that halfway through the trip presentation here.
Okay. All right. So look at the map, and you'll see they're going to go by many. By the way, they have, I understand, buses down there. You told me this. And the buses mm-hmm. are almost like airliners, the way they take care of you on the bus, the seating, the bus attendants, the stewards, stewardesses, whatever. But they're really luxury. That's an interesting thing.
Right. When I was there the first time in 2008, met with my friend Eduardo, who's at that time he was still in the Argentine Navy. He was a lieutenant commander and a doctor. And he was sending me from Buenos Aires to Mar de la Plata to the submarine base there. And they were so nice to me. They took me all around. I was on board one of their boats. But he said I was going to take a bus. And I thought, oh, boy, it's going to be something like Romancing the Stone, where you got to kick the pigs and chickens out of the way. But no, It ain't like that. It's like the cabin of a 747, or a 727, I mean, with single seating on one side, double seating on the other side, and plenty of room, leg room and everything. And it's a long, long trip. And you get your dinner served to you as you're zipping down the highway through the Pampas. Yeah. And then the stewardess asks what you want to drink in the morning. You tell her, and okay, she brings you a pillow and a blanket. Your seat folds down to a bed, and you just thunder on through the Pampas. And at first light, they turn on the lights in the bus. You're still zipping down the highway. And the stewardess comes with your beverage, tea for
that's,
me.
That's a lesson to be learned there. That's a pretty neat way to travel. You got to go
it
a
is.
Long distance.
Yep. A lot of fun, too. And you get to see some beautiful countryside.
Well, Argentina's a beautiful country. Argentina right now is formally, I'm not trying to deter anyone from going because October is August, September, then October, long way away. It's
November.
Locked down.
We're going
now.
In November.
That's right. Yeah, after October. It's locked down now, still, Argentina. They're trying to keep a lid on this. Meanwhile, Brazil is completely out of control with this stupid virus. But Argentina is plandemic. Argentina is doing very well.
Yeah.
So it'll be fine. This is going to be.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to go on that tour. If you take minivans, what do you just rent them down there and have drivers, or do you do your own driving?
Right. It's a full size van or a mini bus. If we get a mini bus, then we have an Argentine driver.
Driver. Yeah.
Or if we have just a regular full size van, like last time we had a large enough group, we had two vans. I drove one, and our group leader, who at that time was Nahuel, he drove the other. And
very good.
It works out great. You know, that way if you feel if somebody needs to make a comfort stop, fine, you pull into the next oasis or roadside inn or whatever you want to call it, and you get to see the scenery. And if somebody says, hey, look, I want to take a picture of this, fine, you pull over and stop, and they get out and take the picture.
Yeah. Very good.
We're safe drivers. I haven't had an accident in weeks. The last chargeable accident I had, you weren't even alive at that time.
You've got them all behind you, I see. You're out of the way. All right.
Yep.
So there's our map, and it starts in Buenos Aires, Mar del Plata, and it goes all the way down and across, and then goes up into the Bavarian Alps, right?
You betcha. You'd swear you were in Bavaria. If somebody was to blindfold a German and put him on a plane and let him out in Bariloche and take off the blindfold, he would think he was south of Munich a ways.
If I could move anywhere, honestly, I think it would probably be there.
Yeah. Argentina is a beautiful country. Right
I'm
now,
talking about Bariloche. Bariloche.
Yeah, it started out as a little town when Hitler moved down in that area. It was a little town. Now it is a real vacation place because of the lake there. Huge, big lake, great fishing, I'm told. And in the winter, you got the Andes right there. So it's...
The scenery is staggering. Well, we'll see some pictures here. All right, let's go on to our first...
100,000 people living there now.
What?
Yeah, in Bariloche, it's pretty
400?
Big. 400? Well, a couple of hundred. Couple of hundred thousand people.
Wow. Well, actually, I'd live further out in the sticks.
There's
a location out
near,
there.
If
somebody wants to loan me $20 million, we're going to buy. I know what I'm going to buy. Go ahead.
Buy an Elko. Yeah. Well, that's.
I'll restore
just,
that thing. Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's 10 kilometers away from a smaller town called Villa Langostura, and it's quiet. It's quaint, and it's got nice restaurants and. Right now, the official exchange rate is 70 pesos to the dollar, but in the black market, which means also in hotels, et cetera, you can get up to 125 pesos for the dollar.
Huh.
And when I went there first in 2008, you got 4 pesos to the dollar.
So it's 70 now. Yeah.
70 is the official, and on the black market, up to 125 per U.S. dollar.
Very good. All right.
Amen.
So, okay, next picture group is Buenos Aires. Let's go to the first picture.
Right. First
sunset
picture,
or sunrise? I've never been able to figure that out.
Sunrise, because we're looking to the east from our hotel, and that's looking over... the city itself.
Yeah, really 90% of the people in that city are asleep in that picture. Think about that.
Yeah, probably. And 80% of the people in Argentina are of European ethnic origin, German primarily, and then Italian, etc. So we stay in a hotel right on one of the most famous corners. It's like Staten Madison in Chicago or...
Hollywood and Vine.
Hollywood and Vine out there, yeah. This is Florida and Cordova. And Florida is a walking street. You cannot, no cars. And all the high buck stores, Gucci and Tooney and Burke and all the rest of them are there. There's also a Burger King. Don't ever think of eating at that Burger King unless your life insurance is paid up. Mm-hmm. It almost got me once. And in the daytime, you got street performers playing saxophones or musical instruments of any kind. And in the evening, you've got artists painting your pictures or doing caricatures or selling stuff that they...
what city in Europe would parallel to Buenos Aires?
They call it the Paris of the South.
Okay. All right.
Take a look at photo
number three.
That was number two. This is number three. This is the breakfast room in the hotel we stay at. It's owned by the Argentine Navy. So, and the food is pretty much like American food, scrambled eggs, sausages, and stuff like that. Plus also French twists and stuff like that. So that's included with our hotel room. And look at number four.
A French
it's
twist.
It's not a cathedral. That's a shopping center.
I've not heard French twist before.
Okay.
Isn't that
another
word for the French resistance in World War II? Never mind. Never mind. All right. Picture number four. See, my humor has no limits in terms of time.
I know. It got me laughing. Anyhow, like I say, this is not a cathedral. This is a shopping center, a shopping mall.
Look at that.
Literally, you could throw a football from our hotel to this mall. It's that close.
Mm-hmm.
And it's three stories high, and it runs pretty close to one square block.
That's a
beautiful place.
The ceiling? That's a Da Vinci ceiling.
Yeah, that's the ceiling. It's like that all through there.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, I keep showing that to my wife because my wife will not get on an airplane for anything. I told her, hey, look, you know, shopping center. Look at the shopping center. Nope, she won't get it. She lost her passport. She hid it from me or something.
She burned it.
That could be.
Mm-hmm. All right, picture number five. That is not Janis Joplin.
That's not Janis Joplin, no. That's Evita. This is an interesting building. There's a guy named Ante Pavlik who was the Croatian fascist leader. And he escaped. I think it was 1947 he escaped. He came to Buenos Aires, got a job as a bricklayer, and then somebody introduced him to Juan and Evita, and suddenly he's a general contractor, and he built that particular building and several other buildings, skyscrapers around Buenos Aires. Uh-huh. And this is one side, and on the other side of the building is a different one where she's looking very pleasant and very friendly, like she's appealing to the, I forgot the Spanish word, but it means the shirtless ones,
right.
You know, the peons. And on this side, she's screaming into a microphone, yelling at the wealthy people that they should start supporting the poor people, you know, a lot like AOC.
Sure. AOC. She's singing, I Only Have Eyes for You. I can tell. Look,
okay.
Come on.
That building... Evita pretty well bankrupted Argentina. They had the fourth largest economy in the world prior to the war and prior to Evita, and she gave everything away to everybody.
Wow.
They've never
that
really
building,
recovered.
Ante Pavlik was no architect, but I think if it were painted different colors, it would help it.
Okay. Hey, remember, it was built in the 40s. A whole different life.
It's been painted since then, though. Okay. Number
six.
Five. Thank you. I was having trouble with that progression there, and I got it. Five goes to six.
Hey, I went to school. I went all the way through third grade twice.
Good job. All right. Numero six. What is it?
Numero six. This is just some of the things you find at flea markets there. And it's interesting. You got a German eagle, but you got the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
And there's lots of stuff there at the flea markets with swastikas on them. some of the stuff, you know, if you're paying 25 pesos for it, you know it's reproduction. But there's other stuff. When I first went there, there were old books from the 30s and 40s published in Germany with the swastika on it. And they were not going for no 25 or 30 pesos. They were heavy bucks. So, that you know, they were originals. The Third Reich was, say again?
You know what I'd like? I would like to get a Mercedes. I think they're called 170. Mercedes-Benz 170. Very, very common. Made from the 30s to 1942. Then they stopped. And I think they resumed production in 47 or something like that. It's a little Mercedes two-door black sedan. They were all over the place. Kind of like the Volkswagen. But if anybody has one that was made in 1941 or 42, who's listening in Europe and wants to ship it over here, let me know, or I'll ship it over here. I'd love to have one. It's got the original Reich markings on it and so forth. You can restore them, but the engine block and all that. Hey, I ran into a guy. I had one in Chicago. He wanted $60,000 for it.
Yeah, antique cars go for a ton of money.
Well, not now. We're in real trouble here. Everything's flat. The antique business is really on its duff. It's not.
I can't afford
here
to buy antique anything.
Well, just hang on to that truck long enough and you'll own
one. Yeah, I was going to say, I got an old truck. And my Corvette that I bought 20 years ago is a antique. It's a 1981.
Mm-hmm.
So I only pay 30 bucks a year for license plates, or as they call them here, tags.
The National Corvette Association has car insurance. You can get it for like $100 a year or something. The Corvette owners don't drive
I looked
much
into that, but that's if you keep it in a locked garage, and if you drive it under 1,000 miles a year or something like that. That's primarily for show cars, and I don't drive mine as much as I'd like to because I got my wife and my son. You can't put three people into a Corvette. And when I first got it, I took my wife for a ride in it, and, you know, I used to drive Grand National stock cars, so I showed her what a Corvette would do, and we got home, and I gave her a set of keys and said, take it anytime you want. She lost the keys immediately.
Yeah, she told you what she could do.
It's a powerful car. It's a powerful car. There's sometimes I even get myself nervous when I'm pushing the button with it.
All right. Next, number seven.
Siete. See, I'm learning how to dial companies in the United States.
Pulling rank on me, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the famous ABC restaurant. It's about three or four blocks from our hotel, and we have lunch there once on our tour. This is a place where it was a favorite meeting place with Mengele, Bormann, Eichmann, and inside, the walls are covered with German stuff. All the emblems, Waffen, Maling, und, the coats of arms of the cities and towns and states inside of Germany. They're all over there. Paintings of old German cities, except the waiters don't speak German. But I was there, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I guess it was. Martina and I were having lunch there, and these two beautiful girls from Scotland were sitting about four tables away, and they got up, came over to our table, and they had a half a bottle of wine. They said, here, we can't finish the wine. We're going back to wherever they were going. They gave us half a bottle of wine.
Okay. The ABC restaurant, what does ABC mean?
That I have no idea. I probably should have found out.
Well, why don't we have... You should have put a couple pictures of the inside here next time.
We have those on our website, on our previous Argentine tour.
The Shark Hunters website is one of the great archives of history, seriously, on the planet. Yeah.
Sharkhunters.com, and go to previous tours, and there's tons of stuff there. Plus, I got a bunch more photos I'll be posting shortly. I don't know. Maybe it means A, Adolf, B, Bormann, C, I don't know, Canaris. I have no idea what that is.
Good. Off the top of your head? Excellent.
Yeah.
The Adolf was kind of easy. The Borman, easy. But the Canaris, now that was good. I like that. Across the street from this restaurant is the DEF restaurant. That one you can't see, though.
Right. Yeah, that one is closed for repairs, I guess.
Got it. All right. Very good. Number eight. Geez, we're almost out of time here already. First hour. Okay. Number eight.
This is in the German Club where we'll have dinner. Way high at the top of one of the skyscrapers there. I don't know if Antipavlik built that one or not, but it's a beautiful skyscraper. And all around are these German emblems for different cities and states in Germany. Beautiful place. Excellent food. And you're looking out over the city and over in one direction. You're looking out over the Rio de la Plata, the Silver River. And way out there, you can't see it, is the Gruff Space still sitting on a bottom.
Would you, next time, let me help you pick the pictures. I want to see this restaurant. I don't want to see the thing. I like the things on the wall, but let's see the restaurant. Let's see the view.
Okay.
Next time.
Those are up on other tour.
Well, what I want you to do for next month, go through and let's get different views of these same venues. We'll look at
them. I can do that. I'm not as dumb as I look.
No, that's what they say. Okay, number nine, the Plaza Hotel.
Ah, history here. Plaza Hotel during the middle of the last century was the place in South America. It's still upscale to the max, if you don't mind paying a grand a night a room. But this is where Martin Bormann lived for 2 years after the war with two young women. And when I was there some years ago, I went in and got a hold of the manager, Senora Rodriguez. I identified myself, told her who I was, what I was doing, and I asked her, I said, my research indicates that Martin Bormann stayed here for 2 years after the end of the war. She says, yes, in room 740, the Presidential Suite. Just like right off top of her head, no problem. And she says, but I never heard about the two young women. I said, well, that gives them extra points in my book. And it's right across the street from this room, from this doorway. If you rotate left 90 degrees, you're looking at the Plaza San Martin, beautiful park with this monster, huge statue of San Martin, the liberator of South America. And steps and the monument to the fallen from the Falkland Islands War or the Islas Malvinas War. It's there. You'll see a picture of it shortly. It's just a beautiful place. And this is a whole whopping four blocks from our hotel. We're right in a good neighborhood.
Well, we'll get that picture out next month.
Roger that.
Okay. All right. We got to take a little break. We'll come right back. Another hour to go with Harry. We'll take a look at some more pictures, and this is really fascinating. That's fascinating.
I love the life I live, man.
Yeah. Speaking of statues, the pall that is enshrouding the Republic here, not good. Not good.
You're right. Not good.
They just tore down a statue of George Washington in Portland, Oregon, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, I read that.
I've said this before, but this is an international Zionist, Bolshevik, communist, Marxist, liberal, progressive invasion of the United States. That's what's going on. It's an international invasion, internationally financed invasion.
And what's going on?
What's going on in Seattle should have been immediately eradicated. Immediately.
Tear down the foundation of a nation and then attack it where it's at, and then you've got no place to go.
Yep. Hold on a minute, and we'll be right back.